That's right. We are right here at Sharp Fastest Gallery. And on the line, as promised, I have Chad Connolly with us here today. He's just taken a job with the RNC, and we wanted to find out more about it. So how are you doing today, Chad Connolly?
Hey, Ann, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. Congratulations.
Well, I'm very excited about it, and we pushed back our rollout from this week with the Supreme Court decisions to Monday, so all the media is going to happen Monday on July the 1st, which is fine with me, obviously, but there's a lot of things going on in the nation that basically I think that nobody wanted to get washed out by all the story because they're excited about it. We're going to do something that's never been done before, and I think people ought to really be pleased with the RNC's commitment to making sure there's no stone unturned.
Well, I'm kind of interested to hear what the RNC is saying about how things were struck down with the Supreme Court. And of course, today or tomorrow, I guess at the latest, will be the last of the three decisions. But what do we think about that?
You know, I don't really know. Nobody seems to know. I was in D.C. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it's a point of a lot of conversation, obviously, in regard to the Voting Rights Act. I think what Attorney General Alan Wilson, it certainly applied to South Carolina in a particular way. As far as the others that are going to come down, I'm not sure anybody has a real good sense for what that's going to be. And they're kind of on pins and needles up there, to be sure. You know, most people think, wow, how can the Supreme Court, you know, strike down something, for instance, that the people in a state vote for? You know, state sovereignty is at stake, and but who knows? I mean, this court's been all over the map at different times, so I don't think people really have a good feel.
I think you're right on that. I think it's very interesting that the door was actually left open, that Congress could bring this law back around on the affirmative action if it applies to the whole nation.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting twist that was left in there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think that's kind of the same thing that South Carolina has been saying for a long time is, look, this has been a nation who nobody's perfect, no nations are perfect, no political parties are perfect, because, you know, you and I know nobody is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not walking here anymore, the guy that was, so, and still is. But in a bigger sense, our nation has been one of the few who's ever been willing to self-correct and say, hey, we did some things wrong. There are certainly places in the world that are still doing those things wrong, but in America, we fix those problems, and we've worked a long way. So I think that in what Alan Wilson said, bringing that into a real equality across the nation would be the right way to do it, and lowering that threshold for states like South Carolina is more appropriate.
Sure. Now, what exactly are you going to do, and what do you see as far as the Republican Party going forth? I mean, a lot of people say with the immigration, Lindsey Graham actually is on record, if immigration doesn't pass, that the Republican Party is finished for trying to put a president in the White House there. So what do you think about what the direction that the Republican Party is going to be going?
Well, I think people are going to be real pleased with, especially Chairman Priebus, having the vision to say, you know, look, we lost, and we've lost twice in a row in a national sense. Now, when you look at a like 2010 and elections like that, we do really well. And, of course, there's some dynamics with Obama on the ticket that, you know, we've never had before that I think make people stand up and notice. But I think people are going to be really pleased. He's announced already African-American engagement initiative and a Hispanic engagement initiative and an Asian Pacific Islander. I'm going to be involved in one that's going to be a very massive movement for faith engagement. And we're going to announce a title and everything on Monday. But suffice to say, I'd have never left the best non-paying job in America if it wasn't a really big deal. And I think people are going to appreciate the fact that Chairman Priebus has stepped back and said, we got to do this. And you know how it is, Anne, when you lose, and nobody likes losing, but when you lose, there's a lot of finger-pointing, and people want to blame somebody. Well, Priebus didn't do that. He hasn't been, let's blame this, or let's blame this issue, or let's blame this segment. He's been more of a team builder, saying, you know, it wasn't the guy who popped out with the bases loaded. I was watching the College World Series this last couple nights. It wasn't that that lost the game. It was a whole lot of other factors. So whether it's immigration or Hispanic outreach or whether it's taxes and spending or Obama's likability factor, we haven't spent a lot of time saying this is what beat us. We've spent a lot of time going, how do we win? And I appreciate that.
Sure. You know, one of the groups, you talked about all those different groups, you know, and those are all groups that need to be included. But one of my questions is, Chad, is the problem with getting young people engaged with the political process? I was talking to a teacher yesterday who had 18-year-olds that didn't even care about voting in last year's election. He even said, "We'll go as a group. I'll make sure that, you know, you can, I'll hold your hand."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, literally. And out of his class of 60, 70, 80 kids, I don't remember exactly the number, only 3 kids voted.
Yeah, and that's something. Well, and look, we know that there's a problem with voting across America. Only 50 or 60% of the people vote that are, and it's just a small number of those that are eligible that are registered. When you look at faith community in particular, and you say across America there's some 80 million people of faith, half of them are registered and half of the registered vote. So it's a real problem with apathy, and I think worse than that, dependency. And I really don't think it's a you can just define it in one thing. I think the party's going to be fine if we stand on principles and we stand for what we say we stand for. And I believe that's one of the things that Chairman Priebus and the RNC's recognized, that, look, we can spend a lot of time saying, you know, it was the guy who popped out with the bases loaded. It was the strikeout with 2 men on and nobody out. Instead, saying, look, we've got to talk about our principles. I'm one of those people who has said a long time, and I've done it on your show too, I believe our principles matter. The left is real good at separating us up, and I just believe that people from all walks of life, from South Carolina to South Dakota, from California to Maine, they believe in a core set of principles. And when you exhibit those principles, it's easier for them to line up. I think Obama's principles and the Democratic Party principles are so bad for the nation that people are going to be running in droves to the Republican Party. I just believe that with all my heart. I believe young people are going to figure it out. You know, they ought to be the ones most concerned about this out-of-control spending.
Sure.
They ought to be the ones that are most concerned about Social Security is going to be broke. They ought to be the ones that are most concerned about all these issues because the burden is going to be on them. The fact that they're not willing to go vote, I think that's an indictment on our culture. It's an indictment on our, you know, frankly, the public education system, not just one teacher or any teachers in particular.
Sure.
It's just a system that has, I think, been dumbed down a lot over the last however many years. And, you know, I believe, of course, I've been on this program talking about school choice. I think competition in the schools would do a whole lot because there are some schools with really engaged teachers that those kids vote. But there's no doubt in my mind we've got to reach the younger generation, and we got to do a lot better job of doing it. And I think you're going to see, in particular, the RNC doing that. Reince has had a great point that sometimes when you parachute in and you're there for 4 or 5 months, it's not very effective as opposed to really being in the community. And I think that's what all these initiatives are all about.
Okay. And, you know, what about, you know, I think civics is something that our school systems could definitely benefit from, and they don't get that anymore, Chad.
No, they really don't. Well, look, the teachers' unions are so powerful nationally, and if you look at the curriculums, the things they push, the whole idea of environmentalism that, you know, should have been disproven by the emails that proved it's a hoax, and yet here the president announces a war on coal that's going to cost jobs and increase regulations, be a burden to all those people in those coal states. Now, look, when you come up with a better idea that's actually working, then we'll talk about it. But right now, that's the way that our energy and our economy move. It's an effort to undermine, you know, I believe, what makes America successful. When you think about, you know, getting the youth vote, we got to communicate those kind of things to them and let them know that this is really a problem and pay attention to what's going on. You're right. Civics isn't taught. There's more emphasis given to, you know, global warming and things that really, it's kind of silly when you think about it, instead of really teaching the idea of American exceptionalism. here we are a week away from, a week and a couple of days away from July 4th. And, you know, how many schools have taught that we're going to be, what, 237 years old this year under one document? One document. And there are so many nations that change their entire way of operation in just a few years because it doesn't work for them. And yet we gave people freedom. We gave people freedom to succeed and to fail because failing is what makes you better. And now you look at our effort, we've created safety nets to protect people that needed them, but then people who didn't need them have taken advantage of our system. And look at the fraud. You know, I just could go on and on and on. There's so many issues. But we ought to be talking about America's special. This is a special place, the most special place on the planet. 237 years of the most successful operation of any nation in mankind's history that gave the most freedom to people, that gave them the most chance to go from one station in life to another, that didn't set up some kind of caste system, but allowed anybody to be successful if they're willing to work hard at it. And yet, you look at the liberal elites and the academics, and especially in higher learning, and all they do is complain about America. We need to go back to the time we're telling people, this is special, you can be successful, people die to come here, you ought to appreciate it a whole lot more than you do.
I think you are absolutely right on that one. And I think the other thing that's the problem is that the young people are actually being taught that the Constitution is outdated.
It's just incredible. But look, these are people who don't want any anchor, Ann. And you'll appreciate this. I got to do a Capitol tour with the guy who taught me to do Capitol tours the other night at midnight. And there was nobody in there. And one thing he said really struck me. He said, our kids today have been taught that there's nothing special about our history. You know, we can't teach Western civilization. We can't teach American exceptionalism because that could offend somebody. I mean, look, we got this totally backwards. Was it Psalm 11:3? If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? And what are the people to do when they're taught there are no foundations? But there are foundations of success and principles that we've built our country on, and we got to go back and tell people they're special instead of finding ways to say, you know, the founders were this, this, this. Well, we already knew they weren't perfect, but they built a constitution that has been open to self-correction. Nothing like it in the world. And yet the liberal side, the left, the elites, all they can do is tear it down and undermine it.
Yeah, I think there was a study that came out. I just heard it on the news. I was talking about it yesterday, about the United States of America being the second most unpopular nation in the world. Iran is ahead of us for unpopularity.
You know, I'd like to know what kind of knuckleheads they talk to about that.
Yeah.
Because Iran doesn't exactly have an immigration problem. And the fact we've got an immigration problem that so many talk about, I think, is a rejoicing. If people didn't like our country, they wouldn't be coming here. So all those people don't like our country, they sure are coming here in droves because they know this is a special place. So that's just a common sense thing. We know it. Everybody really does know it. But, of course, the elites can't admit it.
Sure. You're absolutely right. Well, listen, Chad, I know that you are busy, busy, busy. I know you're telling us that they're going to roll out, the RNC is going to be rolling out some new initiatives and everything. I certainly hope that they are capable of pulling the interest and the desire to be part of and to make people get out and vote and be part of the process. Because if we don't, where are we headed, Chad?
Well, that's going to be my task, Ann, and just tell your listeners to keep praying. They'll be here, the big announcement on Monday. Of course, this is a big week for our nation. Pray about it. And then I just want to tell people, when they're having their July 4th cookouts and barbecues and family reunions like we're going to do with the Connollys, it's more than just an opportunity to cook some barbecue or cook some hamburgers or whatever. It's an opportunity to celebrate, really celebrate freedom. And I want to challenge people, go back and read what the founders said. You know, go back and study and realize they knew what they were doing was monumental. They had a feeling that God had his hand on this, and 237 years later, we ought to really appreciate it and make sure it lasts and grows and continues to be a place and a beacon, a shining city on a hill, as Reagan said.
Well, unless you've been somewhere else, it's hard to appreciate all the great things we have. But with television and the Internet and everything, they certainly should be able to get a taste of what other people who don't have this have.
Amen. That's right. Well, I appreciate what you're doing.
All right. Thanks so much, Chad, for calling us.
Good luck. Happy 4th.
Bye-bye.